This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This week was supposed to have been the week when opponents of a Milwaukee downtown streetcar project would turn in signed petitions in an effort to force a public referendum on that project. But word came recently that the drive would fall well short of the signatures needed, and even if it had succeeded, there were legal questions about its validity. Regardless of the fate of the streetcar, the bulk of the mass transit in the area will still be carried out by the Milwaukee County Transit System. The system has made changes to routes and technology in recent years, but questions about its stability remain. The Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum has just released a report looking at the state of transit here and several possible ways to make it work better for the people who use it. Senior researcher Joe Pietrangelo is with us in the studio to fill in the details. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It was 3 or 4 years ago that we were discussing with folks from the Public Policy Forum and elsewhere, actually, whether the transit system in Milwaukee County was in a death spiral. Increased fares, fewer routes, fewer passengers. How do you evaluate the state of things today?
Well, the system has been stabilized somewhat over the past few years. They haven't had as many cuts to service or fare increases. And they've actually been able to create some new services. So in the short term, they found creative ways not to – basically to avert the crisis. But the long-term picture fiscally is no better, really.
Well, and so why, as you look at the long term, are things still in a tenuous position? Why is crisis seemingly always looming as a possibility?
It's a structural – problem that has come about over the long term, where the costs have risen related to fuel, related to employee benefits, things like that, where the funding from the state has actually gone down slightly or at best remained flat. So that's sort of the structural problem, that costs have continued to increase and the funding sources have not kept pace.
How successful have MCTS's recent initiatives been in managing costs, things like electronic fare boxes, the M-cards, and six express routes?
Well, as far as managing costs, I don't know that we can weigh in on that quite yet. Those are things that have made the service more convenient for people and made improvements to speed as well. In some cases. So there have been operational improvements, but financially, I think it's still too early to say.
Well, so then what was the key question you set out to answer in this study?
Yeah, we had done a previous study where we looked at the challenges of accessing jobs in the suburbs via transit. And one of the things that we found by doing that research was that even where transit services do exist, into suburban areas, it often takes a really long time to get out to those places. Sometimes you have to transfer between different transit systems, services, and it can take over an hour to get to where you're going. So we really wanted to look at how have other places looked at that issue, made improvements,
and this is
speed
the
up
issue,
service.
Right. This is the issue that there are a lot of people in the inner city who in need of jobs and that many of these jobs exist in sort of far-flung places.
Right. So that was where we originally came to this problem, and we wanted to see, again, how has that been addressed elsewhere. But at the same time, how have transit systems improved the speed of service that just makes it a better service in general, even for people who don't use transit currently?
Or potentially people who use transit but don't have the same kind of access issues that
– Right. It might not be just for employment access. It might be for just other general use.
Well, and so to do that, you look at some of these other transit systems in other areas and look at a variety of seemingly, in some cases, fairly low-tech solutions.
Exactly. Yeah. We saw that the Transportation Research Board of the National Academies had actually done – a big study where they'd asked transit systems how they'd made improvements, and we found some pretty simple solutions ranging from increasing the average distance between stops throughout the system to introducing technological solutions like transit signal priority, which is a way of letting buses get access green lights, extend green lights, or change red lights to green lights in order to speed them along through busy intersections.
Well, let's talk about that because I think from a technological standpoint, that may be the most interesting for people to imagine anyway. How do those kinds of systems work and what's the right place to employ them and what might not be the right place to employ them?
Well, they're typically used at busy intersections with traffic signals. So it could be more in a downtown area more likely or on a busy corridor. The technology works by there's a device in the bus and also in the transit signal is equipped with technology that it can communicate with. And so that's the simple answer.
Like a little transponder.
There's a transponder on the bus and it can communicate with the system, and it can even give the bus priority depending on the situation. Like if the bus is running behind schedule, for example, it could be set up to only give priority if the bus is running late, for example.
And so if the bus is rolling down, say, Wisconsin Avenue, it's a couple minutes behind schedule. As it approaches an intersection, the light changes for it.
Exactly. And it does so in a way that readjusts quickly, so it doesn't have major impacts on cross-flowing traffic.
The other issue, and you alluded to this, that a lot of other cities seem to have employed is looking very closely at how far apart bus stops are.
Yeah, that was a very inexpensive solution just to improve general speed and efficiency throughout the system. We found that several places have done that. They've created new policies on how far apart should bus stops be, whether it's a local type of service that's trying to give great access to you know, people getting everywhere they want to go, to like more of an express service where the stops tend to be spaced out a little further apart.
And what's the current policy that MCTS has in terms of both local routes, if you will, and express routes?
The local routes, the goal is to have spaces about 1/8 of a mile apart, which is about 2 blocks roughly. We found that actually a lot of the stops are even closer together than that. They aim for a 1/4 mile being the maximum, that no stops would be further apart than that. The express routes, they're really looking at more of a 1/4 to 1/2 mile spacing. We actually looked at a few of the routes and they tend to be more at the 1/4 mile space, which makes it not as much of an enhancement over regular service as is in other places where express routes stop even less often.
How much improvement in terms of efficiency can just those simple spacing the stops further apart make?
Well, we found that that type of solution in some places it's had like around a 5% improvement in terms of shortening travel times. Another key part of it is just making buses run on time more. So that's something that's less thought about maybe, but it does make a big impact. Similar with transit signal priority technology, it tends to make about a 5 to 10% reduction in travel times, especially if the traffic signals are retimed to kind of work ideally with the system.
And we think of 5 to 10%, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're talking about somebody who's riding the bus for an hour, we're talking, you know, 6 or 7 minutes faster.
Right. But again, some of these changes, they're relatively inexpensive and they make a more modest impact. So we also looked at larger solutions that can make a bigger impact on speed.
Well, yeah, let's talk about some of those because I know some of those just include something as simple as dedicated bus lanes. And then there are some even more, I guess, the term I'm looking for is larger solutions like dedicated buses that have dedicated lanes.
Yeah, so the dedicated bus lanes are something that's used just on its own as a solution.
They've been used in the past in the area, right?
Yeah, actually Prospect and Farwell had dedicated bus lanes only during peak travel periods, so morning and afternoon rush hours. They were active, so parking was restricted from the right lane on those streets. Those went away in the 1990s. We haven't had any similar things since then, but other cities have bus-only lanes and also bus-only shoulders, which is kind of interesting. Another interesting solution is in some places like Minneapolis, they allow buses to use shoulder lanes under certain conditions to speed up travel. So on congested highways, they're able to bypass traffic and they've had a lot of good outcomes from that, including increased ridership on those routes.
There's also another solution you look at, and that is special dedicated buses that ride in these
right.
dedicated lanes.
So bus rapid transit is a service that is sort of becoming more and more popular around the world. It's not very well understood, but basically what it is it's trying to combine a lot of different improvements together. Some of the things that we've already mentioned, like spacing the stops out further, giving the bus a dedicated lane, but other things as well, using the transit signal priority technology, having an off-board fare collection system where people pay before they get on. So it makes it even faster than the electronic fare cards because you don't even have to swipe your card as you enter the bus.
In some ways, this sounds like the non-streetcar streetcar.
It's actually more like a light rail system or a subway system. It tries to really provide rapid service that can be competitive with driving. So it's another level up from any kind of express service.
And it exists side by side with the typical transit system with regular local buses, if you will.
Right. And that's something – so you want to be able to provide these three different levels of service if you can, because local service is going to give people the highest access. Express service, again, is a little faster, and rapid service can really make transit an attractive solution for people – for a lot of reasons or a lot of trips that they wouldn't otherwise be able to take transit just because of the time it takes to do it.
But presumably adding that third level of service is the most expensive alternative here.
It tends to be when you want to include all of those different pieces of bus rapid transit, it can be more expensive, but it is also considerably less expensive than light rail, for example.
At the end of the day, though, the criticism that's been leveled, and maybe this isn't strictly MCTS's issue, is the inability to use transit to get from the inner city to some of these suburban places, many of which have their own form of mass transit and some which don't. How do these various solutions speak to that broader issue that the forum, in fact, has studied in the past?
Well, one example is the idea of using bus rapid transit in the East-West corridor. We've looked at how long it takes to commute out to Brookfield Square. So currently, that's as far as you can get with MCTS services, and it takes a really long time from the city to get out there. Another option is that at certain times of the day, you can transfer to Waukesha Metro services in downtown Milwaukee and get out to Brookfield Square faster, but that requires transferring between the systems, and it has to work out for your schedule, right? So if you introduced some kind of bus rapid transit, it could provide better connectivity from Milwaukee to Brookfield, maybe even to Waukesha, at all times of the day, not just at certain times, and it would be one seamless route.
What about things like have you looked at all at north-south issues, places like Racine or Kenosha?
We haven't looked that far outside of the community. We really wanted to focus in on where would this make the most sense to look first. And because of a number of reasons, we thought the East-West corridor was the first place. Not to say that it wouldn't also make sense elsewhere. But the East-West corridor has a number of advantages, one being that there already are so many transit routes already using it. We found that 17 different routes use the East-West corridor in different areas. And also with the construction coming up on the I-94, it might be a great time to try to improve the bus system through that corridor to give people other options.
Well, so to get back to the point we made early in this conversation, there is always seemingly a financial crisis looming. How are we able to think about these potential initiatives, whether it's the simple ones like spacing stops differently or the more expensive ones, and at the same time imagine that the system could be thrown into financial crisis any day?
Well, some of the smaller solutions, again, are very inexpensive and could be done. We found that other places had done those things within their existing budgets. As far as introducing bus rapid transit, it would require additional funding. And we did find that other places had found federal grants that we haven't tapped into here in Milwaukee. So that could be pursued. And also they found creative ways of complementing that with local funding. For example, with tax increment financing, which is what we're doing with the streetcar project here in Milwaukee, or other ways of attracting, for example, donations or contributions from companies that are located along bus rapid transit routes. Like in Cleveland, for example, the Cleveland Clinics and University Hospitals contributed to the development of a bus rapid transit line there that serves their clinics. And they named they actually named the service the Health Line as part of that deal. So there are a variety of ways that we could still look into bringing in new sources of funding.
Joe Pietrangelo, thanks again.
Thank you.
Joe Pietrangelo is senior researcher for the Public Policy Forum in Milwaukee. He's lead author on the group's new report on Milwaukee County Transit called Picking Up the Pace. You'll find a link to it at WUWM.com. A focus on growing up green at the 12th Annual Sustainability Summit, which opens tomorrow in Milwaukee. We will learn about that effort when Lake Effect continues on WUWM.